Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Audio Frontier.
This is Football Daft with Stephen Purden.
Midfield dynamo and average actor.
Chris Toll.
Target man, suspicious character.
And...
Welcome to Football Daft, the daftest Scottish football podcast around, and it is a very special episode of Football Daft. It is episode 99 of Football Daft. It is me, it is Grado, it is Toll, it is nae fucking John, it is Ryan,
John.
And do you know what else? It's nae fucking guest.
Nae John.
Guest this week.
Nae John and nae guest. What a fucking buzz this is going to be.
So first of all, this does nothing for my OCD that we're getting 99 episodes without a guest. It just does. Now that way, it's like...
But in place of having nae guest, we have nae John and we have Ryan as our guest.
So Ryan's a guest, but... Nay, John, nay, guest. I'm not sure I can wrap my head around about this, boys.
We've got an empty. John is very strict. Sometimes we can record this podcast. We maybe start it at 1 o'clock in the day and we don't wrap to 5 o'clock at night, and it's a pain in the arse.
So see, what we're going to do is we're just going to rattle right through into Grado.
We're going to have a blather, have a good time.
Stay away. Okay.
Fuck
John.
Fuck John, man.
Aye, you're right. Fuck John, by the way.
Know what I mean?
Are you right,
also,
John?
We need to address the fact that we're not in the studio as well. We said we would be in the studio, but well, I'm just going to be honest with you. We fucking lied to you. We lied to everyone, and you all took it hook, line, and sinker. You're beautiful.
But we will be in a studio very soon. I know we keep saying this every week, but we will be. But do you know what? Fuck John, but I hope John's having a good time. He's on holiday with his family. But fuck
He was in Blackpool and he wasn't socially distancing.
He's in the pleasure beach. He's coming back riddled.
Aye, if he's not COVID, you can't come back to Blackpool riddled with something. At least, you know what I mean?
Bob, why you got a Blue Jays hat on?
It's not Blue Jays, mate.
It is.
No, it's Patriots.
Oh, no, it's the Patriots, isn't it?
Do you know what? I've got a Chicago Bulls hat on. You've got a
Cleveland
Indians hat on. You've got an
Indian
hat on. We're representing all sorts here.
Ryan's about to get one of his taps on.
He's going to come by with a fucking NFL helmet on.
He's got his bucket hat on. Yeah.
Ryan's representing the Stone Roses.
before we go any further,
I know what you've got to say, Bo, because you put that bucket hat on.
Aye. Is that... Were you wearing that bucket hat the other night when you were...
You were going to say that?
Aye.
That's funny, I thought that. I normally put the bucket hat on.
Because I can see Ryan Gallagher, sometimes producer of Football Daft, fucking in disguise, at the open goal thing with Si Ferry, with his bucket hat on, and then has the cheek and audacity to fucking air it on social media.
I know what the best part is, Stevie. He wore a fake beard over a real beard.
No, but Toops, you know what? It's 99 shows. It's no guest, right? Just means we're going to have a big one for the 100th show. I won't be here, man. I'm off.
What?
For 2 weeks now. I'm off for 2 weeks now.
This is falling apart, man. Why just?
I'm in holiday, man. I'm going to Cornwall next week. Then the weekend, I'm going to Arran.
Cornwall?
Aye.
The fuck are you going to Cornwall for?
It's beautiful, mate. So big news today, man. I'm on set. I'm looking through my phone. Griffiths.
I know, he's played a blinder, hasn't he? That was a fucking...
Aye, he's won a fucking watch. He knows what he's doing, doesn't he?
That is a swerve and a half,
you know, isn't it? That was funny. See, if that was planned by him and Celtic, that's fucking funny. And he also...
Just to get this right, he did wipe all the medicines of Celtic?
Aye, and he trained yesterday on his own in a gym with Scotland training kit on.
Oh, that's such a work.
So, Anne just came in, had a chat with him, sat down, and he's probably liked what he's heard for the Griff.
Lee. I've seen you come back from pre-season last season, and you had a bit of a gun on you. But as you can see by my good self, and I'm on a bit of a gun. Now, you dead fucking contract signed. Let's get going, boy.
Hey, boys, we've got a guest. We've got a guest, Big Ange's on.
Yeah, but yeah, get to. You happy?
Do you know what? See if they can get him drilled and get him fit. He's a dangerous striker. He's a good player to have, whether it's a main striker or a squad player.
But do you know how right? It sort of reminds me of back in the day with Rangers, and we had players that we just needed to get ready. And when we'd start a season with them, you know, why we not get rid of them yet? And it would feel as if this is the same old, same old. I feel as if I was a Celtic fan, I'd be like, give something new here. Give something new.
We get rid of Izaguirre and then we brought him back after two seasons later or something. Do you know what I mean? It's better just to fucking...
But I'm kind of a Gredo here, man. I'd be like that, man. No way. No
See,
fucking
to be
way.
Fair, most Celtic fans are saying the same. Most Celtic fans are a bit raging that he's got a new deal, but I agree with Chris. See if he can get him back fit and scoring goals again. He is. He's one of the best strikers.
This is my point.
If he's fit, though.
But why did he not do that last year?
How much money is he costing you? How many times, you see Neil Lennon talking about the other day as well, probably how loyal Lennon was to him and how much he tries to help him. The same happened with Rodgers, and now this new manager's coming in and he's just giving him another deal.
Look at me.
Well, what I'm saying is, it just interests me that you go, see if we get him fit, he could score 25. I'm like, mate, last season it was your 10 in a row. It's now none in a row. What is the...
But see the thing was, though, with Griffith...
What's the goal here?
I know you said, Stephen, about Lennon making the comments on him before, but what Neil Lennon missed out for that was the fact that Neil Lennon had him in training for about 6 months and couldn't get him fit. Like, that's a problem with training as well. So I think Lennon was
trying to... All players would be unfit if that was the case.
No, but Ryan, what you're saying there, man, right? He had him for 6 months and couldn't get him fit.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, you're saying, see if we get him fit?
No, that's not what I'm saying. See when he came back overweight at that time and he got dropped for the pre-season tour, and he got told to get into training, get yourself fit again, blah, blah, blah. For about 6 months after that, he couldn't get fit, while the rest of the team could. So surely to God, a manager, if you've got a player, you take him aside and you work on him. You work on somebody who you've pinpointed as being an unfit player. So the fact that they couldn't get him to that, I mean, don't get me wrong, the blame is mostly
you're blaming
on
Lennon.
For that. It's mostly on Griffiths, but I also think...
But that sounds like you're blaming Lennon.
No, it was also a bit rich for Lennon to just kind of pass the buck on that one.
But mate, I think Rodgers said the same about Manon. Rodgers had his issues with him. Lennon saying it. It's a pattern that keeps happening with every manager. So
no, and that's fair. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. But I think it was mainly on the Lennon comment. You know, he was very quick to try and chuck Griffiths under the bus, but he never.
I think Griffiths is one of the players that I'd be going, you fucking flung me under a bus. You got me the sack.
No,
you
get yourself sacked, mate.
Make no mistake
about it.
No, but what you're saying, but if Griffiths comes back minus the belly and the player that you all think he can become again, surely you've got maybe a chance with him firing goals in. Know what I mean?
Then Lennon might
keep his job. I'm with Lennon. Lennon's every right to sit down and go, see, that'd be pretty.
We're all new Lennon, mate.
I didn't say it. I am. I said I'm with him on this point. I am not Neil Lennon.
You stand with Neil Lennon. You stand with Neil Lennon.
What Neil
else has been happening then, man?
Aye.
What else has been happening then, man? You think England are going to win the Euros?
I've got a question for you that I just seen online. Right, now, Gredo, you texted me last night about the tennis and you said this Andy Murray game is magic.
Aye.
Would you take Andy Murray winning Wimbledon if it meant England won the Euros?
No.
I mean,
he's won Wimbledon before.
I know, but think about it. It's a pure redemption story, isn't it?
I don't know, mate. And do you know what? I'm mega behind Andy Murray only because he dons the Castore. However, if it comes to England, I just don't know if I could take it, mate.
I'm the same. Nah.
This is what I will say, right? But that's annoying me. What I read on the internet, what's really getting to me is the amount of Scottish people that are going, the commentators, can't stop mentioning it? The commentators. They brought on, what do you call him, Freddie Lundberg, and then they asked him about the England game. What, mate, what would it be like if we were in the stages that they were at. You know what I mean? I remember before we even kicked a ball, I was listening to James McFadden giving it, we've got a strong team and all that, we're capable of this, we're capable of that. It's just, I just don't see the point in arguing about it. That's the way it is.
It's not that, mate. I think it's the fact that they mention England in the middle of fucking Spain versus fucking Sweden or whatever. You know what I mean?
It's the audience. There's only 5 million.
What they also need to remember is it's British broadcasting. It's not fucking English broadcasting. They should be covering Scotland and Wales as well when they were in it, but they weren't. They were just fucking talking about England all the time.
But listen, no, they weren't. They were always talking. They were always talking up Scotland when we were still in it. They definitely
not in the middle of other games, in the middle of other teams' games. No, they weren't.
They never spoke about England during the Scottish games, did they?
Mate, they fucking. You don't get 30 seconds without them mentioning 1966. You know what I mean?
I'll give you that. But what I'm saying is their confidence. They've got the right to be confident.
No, they haven't. They're fucking garbage.
You know,
garbage.
Do you know what the hang is? Do you know what the hang is with England? What worries me? They're no conceding goals.
No.
That's a fucking worry.
It's because who have they played?
Well, Toll, you're going to say this when a team gets to the final and your argument team is still going to be, I've not played them, but... they're in the quarterfinals.
Aye, all right, they played Germany. Germany are a decent side. They played Germany, right? And they kept a clean sheet, right? But... I'm telling you this now. See if they get to play Denmark. Denmark will fuck them.
I think I said that today to a couple of boys in the work, man. I think that's going to be a big challenge for them. If Denmark beat Czech Republic and England beat Ukraine, that's your only hope. But I really do think England are going to get to the final. I do.
Wow.
Well, if they get Denmark, to the final, they're playing Spain or Italy
or Belgium.
Right. Any one of the three teams will take numbers off.
I do agree with you to an extent, right? They've not played a right quality team. That isn't a great German team. And do you know what really fucking rips my knitting? All their games are at Wembley, man. All right, the next game, isn't it?
That game there not meant to be in Rome?
I thought that was meant to be in Rome, that one as well. And I thought, because Italy's, I remember them talking about it. It was like Italy going to Wembley. And then
England
going to Rome. Aye, that's what I thought as well.
But in the same token or not, we had our games at Hampden, two our games, which is even
aye,
the first
two, aye, we did.
Aye, but we were one of the host nations, Grado.
The whole summer has went tits up. Scotland have failed at the full hurdle, the first hurdle in fucking Shannon on Love Island's out after one fucking day.
Mate,
it just sums the fucking summer up.
She's
it,
mate. I was shell shocked, man.
She'll be back. She'll be back.
Well, do you know what, Ryan? I kind of thought the same myself. I went, she'll come back, man. Remember they used to do that in Big Brother.
Aye.
I remember John for Big Brother 5 or 6. He had the idea for the toaster. I'm sure I think his name was John Pickle or something like that.
Hold on a second, lads. See, because we've not got a guest, we'll have to tell a Big Brother story.
Yes, oh, absolutely, man. We take another bottle of Corona so I can set myself in then, right?
Aye, okay.
You just talk away then.
But like, back to the football, right? They beat Ukraine. Are Denmark strong enough to beat them? But I don't know.
I think Denmark are a very, very good side. I think they were.
They look good.
I think see because what happened with Christian with Eriksen.
It's written in the stars.
No, I think the first two games they were knocked after Ailes a bit with that. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you this now. I said it before the tournament. He can go back and listen. I said it before the tournament. I said they were my dark horses. Right at the start of the tournament. Because, funnily enough, I watched a documentary on Sky Sports about their qualifying campaign and about all these, how they were hitting it at the right time. And I can see them. Shut up, you. I can see them doing it, man. And I mean winning the tournament. I'm not just talking about getting to the final.
It's anybody's, right? Give you a big bra story.
And I'm just right. Going to say something.
Aye.
So when you tell this, it's just funny because I've got a bit of a big bra story, I know. And I mean, I know it's this, you know, if you've got to Tenerife, I've got to go to 11 Reef, but it just came into my head, but keep going.
Right, okay, so the fucking auditions for Big Brother came to Glasgow, so I says to my dad, I'm going to go for that, fuck it. And he went, right, I'll drive you in. So he drove me in, and they take you into this wee room. It's like the diary room, right, for your interview. You fill in a form and all that shit and take you into the diary room. They ask you some random questions. And first question was, who was the last celebrity that you had a sex dream about? Right, so it was funnily enough, and it's embarrassing, right, but a couple of nights before it, I went for my, I had a fucking sex dream about Letitia Dean sharing for EastEnders. Right, and I told them straight off the bat, right? So I heard the guy behind the camera laughing because you're in this wee box and it's just a camera, right? So then they take you in and you do a questionnaire, like a mental health questionnaire and all that, right? So I left, and just as I was leaving, a guy came and grabbed me and went like, "We want you to come back again tomorrow." I was like, "He's in here again tomorrow." He says, "Aye." He says, "But I want you to go upstairs. You need to go into the office." I says, "Right." So went into the office and they said, "We've put you on the shortlist already." I was like, "All right, you're a fucking dancer, brilliant." And then I went out and it kind of hurt me. I was like, "Fuck, I might be going on to Big Brother here." So I never heard anything for about 3 months, honestly. And I was at home for work. I was decorating my bedroom and my mobile phone went and I answered it. And you know, like when they went to the diary room, it was like,
This is Big Brother.
Right? That's what it was like. I answered the phone. I went like, "Hello?" He said, "This is Big Brother." I was like, "Fuck off." And I hung up the phone. Right, it rang again. It said, "This is Big Brother. If you hang up again, you'll be removed from the application process." I says, "Oh, for fuck's sake." Right, so I says, "Hello." He says, "Chris, yes, you applied on this date." "Yes, I did, yes." "Right, we need you to come down to London tomorrow." Right, now, bearing in mind, like, I had work the next day and stuff like that, so I phoned the work. I says, "Listen..."
Did you phone your dad? Were you not working your dad's pub at that time, no?
No, I was working, and that's like when I come back, the pub thing happened, right? So I've phoned in the work, and I says, "Listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've applied for Big Brother. They've asked me to go down to London tomorrow." I says, "And they've told me that I might need the time off work for to go on to the show." And the woman went, "Right, no bother." So I went down. They organised a train for me. I went down to London. And so I gets down to London. I gets off at King's Cross Station. They said, the phone goes, "This is Big Brother." They said, "You're looking for a man with a polka dot umbrella. You'll see him at this exit," right? So I walked out. And I'm expecting to see one of the big long umbrellas with a hook bit at the end.
Aye.
Polka dots. But bearing in mind that the fucking sun was splitting the trees. It was roasting. So I'm looking for a guy with an umbrella and I was expecting him to have it up as well. And it wasn't, it was a guy holding one of the wee tiny fucking umbrellas. It took me about half an hour to find the bastard. Right? So eventually he comes over and he says, "Your name, Chris?" I says, "It is, mate." He says, "Come with me." Right? So he takes you into the car park and you get into this blacktop motor. Right? And they take you into a hotel. He says, "Right, stay where you are." Then the next thing he says, "Right, come in." You go in, right? And there was, I think it was 16 other folk there. Right, so I sat down and I was like, "And do you know who was in it? Do you remember the two twins that went in?" Mm-hmm. "And do you remember the lassie that ended up going out with the guy and they pure fell in love and all that?"
Chanel?
Was it Chanel?
Oh, that was Chanel Houghton.
I do remember
was,
that.
Chanel Houghton went out with what do you call him?
Against with Pete. Pete, wasn't it? Pete.
Wasn't it Pete? It was Prentice or something like that. Was it no Preston?
No, her.
The one that somebody else could
The one that looked like Posh Spice.
Aye, mate, I know who you're talking about.
She made a name herself, maybe, no?
Aye, she became like a...
Oh, like aye. A Chanel Hayes.
Aye, Chanel Hayes, that's her, Chanel Hayes, right. So they made us do speed dating. There was eight guys and eight lassies, and they made us do speed dating, and I get paired with her. Right, so you done like 3 minutes and moved on, 3 minutes and moved on. Then you had to review the person at the end in front of them. And then they asked you questions and stuff, and one of the questions was, would she be your girlfriend, your friend, or would you not want to speak to her again? I says, I wouldn't want to speak to her again. They made you say it in front of them and all that. She was pure offended, right?
Is this Chanel?
Aye. He says, why would you not want to speak to her again? I says, because if she was chocolate, she'd eat herself. Right? And everybody started laughing. She was well pissed off at me, right? So the next thing, all of that's done, and I go back up the road. And I get a phone call about a week later, right? So get a phone call about a week later. He says, "Chris, we want to see how you interact with your friends. So we're going to send somebody up to your house, and I want you to organise a night out with your mates and just tell them that this is a new guy that you're working with." Right, so done it right, and I swear to God, they couldn't have sent somebody out that I would have been more opposite of the sort of person that I would hang about with, you know what I mean?
Aye,
so organise a night out with my mates, and all my mates are like, this is weird, this isn't it? Because he kept on asking them questions like, aye, so what's Chris like if he gets into an argument and all that, you know what I mean? And they're all like, oh, for fuck's sake, what's going on here? Right, so the guy leaves and all that. I'm like, right, mate, I'll see you work tomorrow. Right, cheerio. Right, and I'm me. Oh, I get back to the table and my mates went, you've applied for Big Brother, haven't you?
You're joking.
And I went like, no, how? I'm like, there's no way that guy works for you. I was like, I said, he's can't tell him they were right, but I have applied for Big Brother and I'm getting further on and further on. So that comes back, it's fine, and then they send somebody out to see how my home life is, and they sent me back down to London again to do a full psychological evaluation, and it was really quite strenuous, the whole application process, right? So that's done and dusted. I get back home from London, and they phone me and they go, "This is Big Brother." I say, "Hello, Big Brother." He says, "Chris, you're now on the final shortlist to go onto the show."
Wow.
I says, I'd know why, he's my arse started making buttons a wee bit, right?
Aye.
So I said, right, okay. I says, what do I need to do? They said, have your bags packed and be at Glasgow Central Station tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. I says, right, okay. So I go, bags packed, Glasgow Central Station. Do you know when it was I went? It was the day after the UEFA Cup final when Seville played at Hampden. Right, and the reason I remember was because I went to get loads of clothes because you need to get no names and all that. So I went to get loads of clothes, and me and my mate Jarvey met the full Sevilla squad in the town, and I get pictures with Danny Alves and all that, and Big Freddie Canutti and all of them. Right, so the next day I went to Glasgow Central, 6 o'clock. A guy comes up to me and says, "Right, you're on this train, blah blah, on you go." So I got on the train. Sitting DVDs and all that, first class and all that, I've written paid for. It's brilliant, right? I get into London, he says, where do you want to go? You can go to Spain, you can go to this place, you can go to that place, you can go to that place. I says, I'm terrified of flying. Where can I go that I don't need to fly? And he says, Cornwall. No, I'm only joking. he says, you can go to France. Have you ever been through the Eurotunnel? I says, I've no, but that's quite fucking exciting. So that's where I'll go. So they took me to this wee fishing village in a town called Honfleur in France, right? And they filmed my entrance video for the show.
No way.
Gredo, you like this as well. They took me to Omaha Beach, where the D-Day landings were, for see the bit of Saving Private Ryan.
Aye.
Took me there. That's where I filmed my entrance video for Big Brother. Went on there, writing in the sand with a big stick, Chris Toll, 25 or whatever age I was at the time and all that. And it was the full shebang, done everything, stood next to a big red one and all that. So I'm in France for a fortnight. And it's a day before the Scottish Cup final, Celtic versus Dunfermline, I think it was. John-Joel Perrier-Doumbé scored for Celtic, we won 1-0. Yeah. And it's the Friday before that, and I get a phone call, and they said, "Chris, we've made the final decision on the contestants. You will not be one of the first contestants, but you will be on standby for the 3 months.
Wow.
For the 3 months that the show's on." I says, "Right, no bother." And see, to be honest with you, I'd been in France that fucking long. They give you a chaperone, you stay with a person, right? And the first night we're there, I says to the guy, "Right, Mum, we'll go and we'll get a steak and a couple of beers." He goes, I'm vegan and I'm teetotal. Oh. I was like, Jesus, fuck. I says, right, no bother. I says, right, well, what about if we go out and we get a pizza or something like that? And he says, right, okay. So went back and I'm sitting in the wee flat after. I'm like, I'm not going to get on with this guy. I says, why stick a DVD on? He says, aye, no bother. So I says, I brought loads of DVDs. He says, so did I. And we opened the two DVD cases and all the DVDs I had were all the same as the ones that he had. And I was like, right, okay, so we've got some middle ground here, do you know what I mean? We're going to get on. We ended on getting on with a house on fire. And they've said to me, right, on the Friday, you're not going to be on, you need to go on 3 months standby. Long story short, I went up the road, fucking put Big Brother on, and it was a year that they put all the women in.
Ah, first.
It was all the women and one guy, that Ziggy guy, remember?
Yes.
Ziggy, I do remember him.
Yes.
And that's the reason why I never got onto Big Brother.
Wow, Tull.
There you go, lads.
That's a great story, mate. I didn't know that you actually you went to France. I didn't know it was as far as that.
Oh, mate, I was right on the cusp of getting on the show, man.
Mate, this just shows you, right, this is just a quick one, right, how much I was absolute bullshit it years ago, right? In 2013, this guy asked me to come down to London, said he wanted to represent me. Said he was an agent, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, I'll get you at the Ibis Hotel, just at the London, whatever, London Central, where the fuck it is, right? So I went for this guy right away, man. He was overweight, dodgy suit, and I thought, oh, this doesn't feel right at all. And he says, look, here's the deal. I'm going to take 25% of anything that you ever earn. I was like, oh, is it not usually like 15, 20? He's like, no, that's a good deal. It's a good deal. He says, I am the man responsible for getting Eric Bristow on I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here. Kind of as if I was meant to go, holy fuck, man, were you? So, and then he says, and I also represent somebody in Coronation Street. And I was like, oh, well, you represent somebody in Coronation Street. I was like, who is it? And he went, do I tell you, right? And then later on in the conversation, he goes, now, if you end up being on Skype and you get your willy out, that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing to get that publicity. I'm going, what the fuck is he?
Who the fuck is this geezer?
Because I'm having a bit of an issue with the guy that I represent in Coronation Street. And at that time, remember Kevin Webster was in the media? Aye. I goes, do you represent fucking Kevin Webster? And he went, aye. So I'm going, fuck it. But the big thing that he said to me was, he goes, I'm going to make a phone call right now. I'm going to phone Big Brother. He says, I'll get you in Big Brother right now. In fact, I'm almost certain I can get it so that you win it. And I went, all right, cool. And he went away and fucking said he was on the phone. He came back, went, it's done. You're going to win it. I've got you a slot. You'll win it. That's what he fucking said to me.
Fucking hell,
it was
man.
The most intense. I'd never felt so. It was pure scummy and seedy. You know that way. Telling me that everything would be all right if I got my fucking bobby on the internet.
And everything was all right.
There you go.
Boys, that was the Big Brother story. And John has heavy, heavy missed himself tonight, missing out on that story. But obviously, we've no guest this week. But we do have, as usual, the big question. And it's off the back of a debate about Pepe at the Euros the other week. We had a wee chat in the group chat about that. We want to know the players that you absolutely hate or hated and why.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Call them now on 01698 767 172.
Nicole has been working all day at the fucking G4 Claims headquarters. She wants to go up the road now. And she's going up the road, right? And do you know what her talking's doing? It's going to make her tired. And see if she's tired, she could have an accident. And see if you have an accident, Nicole. What can you and your team at G4 Claims do?
What a segue.
So, if you're involved in any sort of accident, guys, contact G4 Claim First. We're a non-fault accident management specialist, so we can help you get your car back off the road if it needs towed from the scene of the accident. We can help you from the scene of the accident. You don't need to phone your own insurance. If your car has been in an accident, it's not your fault. Why would you claim your own policy? Why would you affect your own policy and have to pay your excess up front until the claim is settled? An average claim can take 6 to 9 months to be settled. You will have to foot the bill for your excess until that is settled up. So why would you have to do that? You've not been at fault for the accident. Contact G4 Claims First. We can provide you with a like-for-like replacement hire vehicle. We can get your car repaired at a poor body shop. And if your car's written off, we'll recover the pre-accident value for you and make sure you're happy and you're not left with negative equity and all the rest of the problems and headaches that follow on. We will look after you. We don't work for the insurance, we work for you. So if you're involved in any sort of accident, contact G4 Claims First. It's not at fault claims, they're made easy.
Made easy.
Welcome to the Football Daft Open Line, where anything goes. That was Grado making an arse of himself, as usual. We take the serious questions here in Football Daft. You know, what do you make of Celtic's transfers so far this summer? Or do you want to just find out if Shannon for Fife really has been booted at Love Island? Or is it all just a massive...
She's gone.
These boys making
all
noises.
All the fans are like, hey, Shannon. Good deed.
Good deed, Shannon. As you can hear, that's a panel of football experts, Stephen Keevans, Graham Goody and Chris Delahan. Now, let's get to the callers. First up, we've got a man that you boys liked before, he's been on before. It's Ross. Ross, welcome to the open line. What's your question for the panel?
Right, well, recently a tweet I sent out at the start of the season got picked up on by a couple of Rangers fans. I tweeted out after Rangers and Hibs drew 2 each. In a game that Goldson never covered himself in glory in, I put, get Goldson the fuck away for that starting 11. Same shite every season. Starts well, fucks up. The centre-back next to him gets throped. Enough is enough. And of course, Connor Goldson goes on to have a belty this season and makes me look like a fud. So, my question is, what is the stupidest thing or the stupidest thing you've ever tweeted or said after a game in a complete rager? That's made you look like a fan afterwards.
Paul said a few things on Twitter, man.
I cannot comment on this question.
I'll tell you something, Ross. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly what I wrote, but I remember going into work one day, and just before Gerrard had became the manager, we were in a fucking bad place, Rangers. And I remember going into work, and I tweeted something like, not only is this because something happened that morning. I tweeted something like, not only has this happened, but now we're getting linked with fucking Steven Gerrard. Geese peace. I tweeted something like that. So
Did you really, bro? That's quite funny.
I thought, I just thought Gerrard, name, managerial credentials. I thought, wow. What the fuck? You know what I mean? Something like that. So I'll be honest and say, aye, that's what I've done.
I never really tweeted about football because I know it just a fucking mega open goal for folk to kind of.
Aye, but doesn't it
with
Fat Boy saying?
Probably the one I did have to delete something. It was 3 weeks before the elections in 2014, independence carry on. Mm-hmm. And I just tweeted, yes, no, who gives a fuck? I swear I get absolutely crucified for it. This is your future. This is me. You're so intelligent. You're so immature. And I went, fuck this place, man. Take me this down.
Right. I'll tell you one. It's not myself, but my dad. Easter Road, 1997. Henrik Larsson passes the ball to Chick Charnley. Chick Charnley bursts the net to make it 2-1 to Hibs. Or 2-0 to Hibs, maybe. My dad turns around to me and says, that Larsson will never be a fucking footballer if he plays these at Hunter.
There was a boy I worked with when I used to work in Asda, and he said, right after Henrik Larsson signed, and it was just after the Hibs game, it was in Byers Road. There was a couple of Celtic players there. And Larsson was one of them. And his missus goes, do you want to go ask him for a 40? I'll take the 40. And my mate went, no, what do I want a 40 with him for? He's shite.
Sure, are you mates with my dad?
Me and Toll Senior, Ayers Road every weekend, mate.
Never out of dancing that guy, man.
Oh, Jim. Happy birthday to Jim Toll, by the way.
It's my dad's birthday today, lads, right?
Happy birthday, Jim.
I'll send him a text after this.
He says you were meeting him for a pint in Byers Road.
Right, cheers, right. Boys. Catch you later.
Cheers, catch you later.
Right, the next caller on the open line then is somebody that Chris will know. He's he was a regular on Celtic Daft before things went tits up at the end of the season. It's the Scott.
All right, how are you doing?
Scott, you're back.
So she's like, Scott.
By the way, this guy speaks tremendously well. Tremendously well. Scott, it's good to have you back, mate.
Put the pressure on me now.
Oh, I can tell he speaks well.
Hi.
Right, Scott, welcome to the open line. What's your question for the boys?
Right, my question is regarding the new Celtic manager, Ange Postecoglou, in terms of how much time you would give this guy, given the job, the rebuild job that's required, obviously the mess that Lawwell and Lennon's left us in. Do you think that he needs to win the league, or do you think that if Celtic simply compete for the league this season, then that's a go for him to get another crack at it, given the fact that they're coming for 25 points behind? I think the job that he needs to do is similar to the rebuild that Gerrard had at Rangers. I think it's very, very similar. And Gerrard obviously got 2 years at it before he eventually got his one trophy out of 9. So
This guy. Sorry,
yeah, Scott. It was a big trophy, but wasn't it?
Was. Did you enjoy it in your living room celebrating?
Did you enjoy getting 9 in a row for the fucking Hamden offices before not doing it on the pitch?
Oh, mate, I had a great 9 years.
I'm out of here.
Fuck this. I think you've answered the way I was going to answer the question. You've said it. I thought if you look at it now, I don't think it's as big a job as what Gerrard had coming in. The job Gerrard had, Rangers were coming from a very fucking bad place. You've still got players there that have won things. You've still got a squad there, just a team that I don't know what's went wrong. Was it Lennon? Was it Law? I don't know. But it's not as big a job as Gerrard had. Not a chance. But it's still a big job. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously Rangers, undefeated in the league all season, basically fucking, you couldn't compete with us in any old Firm games apart from maybe the one at Parkhead to draw. But league was already done by that point. So it is a big job. But you need to give him time. What if he comes in? I'll ask you this then, mate. What if he comes in against Michelin in fucking 2.5 weeks and he's get pumped out and he's don't make the Champions League? What would you want to do? Would you want to keep him?
Oh, I think that game, to be honest, that game 2 weeks' time, it's a write-off already, because just for how the 4 months that they wasted, basically, the 105 days it took to appoint him, and he's only been in the door 2 weeks or so. That game's already in 2 weeks. Signed one player. I think I'm expecting Celtic to lose that game. It's not a tie Celtic should lose on paper, but I'm expecting them to get beaten. It.
Scott, do you have a phone in Clyde?
No.
I don't know. I thought I'd recognise your voice.
You probably feel listening to Celtic Daft, your fucking closet.
Where do you think Christopher Toll?
I think I can agree with you with what you're saying about the Champions League. I don't see us getting out of the Champions League anyway. So, you know, whether he goes out at the first round or the third qualifying round, it makes no difference. I think you've got to give the guy time. His ethos and what he's done, going by people that he's worked with previously, he's a really exciting, forward-thinking coach.
I love
his ethos. His ethos. He's a really forward-thinking coach.
I may answer the question, but...
Aye, but it's funny. Can we just keep laughing?
I know, mate.
I know, in all seriousness, but he's got a bit of the fucking... Supposedly a bit of the Tommy Burns is about him, so fingers crossed, man. Been saying that, Tommy only won one trophy, didn't he?
Yep.
What do you think, Gregor?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
We'll get clips of them for talking about Pedro Caixinha and that summer, and then progress 2 weeks later. They'd have been saying this.
Mate, do you know what? They were very dark times, and I really hope it goes the same way for you. Know what I mean? So we've been there, mate.
I don't know. I mean, it's easy for Rangers fans to turn around and say it's like they're Pedro, or even for Celtic fans, just because he's an unknown. I know Toll seems to know him inside out, but you know what I mean?
Aye, Toll's done
his ethos. He's been following him for years, do you know what I mean?
He's
very forward thinking.
The thing is,
you've got to give the guy a chance. Like Scott's saying there, right? Obviously, I mean, you look fucking stupid. You've put all your eggs in one basket going for Eddie Howe. He said no. He's now a turn to a guy who knows he wasn't the first choice. I don't even believe he was second choice or third choice, but he's got him now. He's 2.5 weeks away for a Champions League qualifier. The season starts in fucking 30 days. He's need to give him a chance. He's need to, so there's none. You're stuck with him. He's need to get behind him. And it looks like he's sold a lot of season tickets again. So, who's to say he's only sitting here in a couple of months' time and me and Grado look stupid? But now, it does look funny. Thanks for coming on, mate.
All the best, Scott, mate.
Thanks for coming on, mate.
Last on the open line, then, it's Matty.
Matty! What's happening?
Wait, what's the deal with Ryan tonight, man?
It's funny how Ryan's the producer tonight. It's all Celtic fans for him, man.
Funny, man.
It's good. Ryan's on his fucking phone. What's up?
Aye. How are you doing, my man?
Not bad at all, Jess.
Matty, I've got a question for you.
Go on.
Do you know Ryan Gallagher personally?
No, I do not.
Right, okay.
Ah, see, see how he's...
It's a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy. Right, on you go.
Matty, welcome to the open line, mate. What's your question for the boys?
Just, what do you think of Celtic's new signing? And his name's a funny one, ain't it?
I think they're trying to sign like the manager in the first signing. I think they're trying to get a squad that nobody can pronounce the name, so no cunt can get the blame for next season.
You're Hawkeye, that's a funny one, like, but aye, seems all right.
Matty, where are you from?
Yeah, originally from Falkirk, but I stay in Stirling now.
Do you ken John McNally?
I know of him. I don't speak to him.
I'll do you, mate.
You ken John McNally?
You ken John McNally?
Oh, man.
What do you do for a job, Matty?
What a nice for Tesco's.
Do you do not, do you?
I do so.
Have you watched that documentary yet?
No, I've not.
Have you seen any, Gregor? You'd like it?
No, mate. What's that about you
inside
about?
Tesco, it's on. I'll send you some information.
All right, okay. Hey, do you know what's a good one? You may be watching this Jeremy Clarkson documentary. Everybody's...
On the one on the farm?
Real. Aye, mate. I've watched it. Watched it was not too bad. Have you watched it, Matty?
No, I've not watched it, but I want to watch it.
I go through one extreme to the other with Jeremy Clarkson. Sometimes I really like him and sometimes I want to kick his fucking head off.
Right. So, Matty, what was your question?
Celtic's
new signing, right? Do you know what? I'm going to need to look it up again. It sounds like McGeady, doesn't it? It sounds like...
You're Hawkeye.
You're Hawkeye. Yes.
You're Hawkeye. Ozzy.
he's good defense, mate. I'll tell you that.
Where did you sign him for, Chef Wed?
Sheffield Wednesday.
Well, mate... I'm going to be honest here and say I don't really know much about him. I've not heard about him, but I'm sure Toll has done a lot of reading up in the last half an hour or something. And
you know
he's
what?
Got to tell us about his ethos, the way he plays it for the back.
I'll tell you this now, right? And this is the truth. I remember when he made his Sheffield Wednesday debut, purely because he'd done an interview after it, and the interview went viral after it, because everybody was saying he's the nicest wee guy. It was, this is what you need in a footballer. This is the attitude in a footballer. And I didn't realise it was him when we signed him until when I typed his name into YouTube, as you do, to try and get some highlights. And it doesn't speak well for him. The only YouTube video
I'm getting sent off
was him getting sent off in a fucking interview where he was nice to the interviewer. But do you know what? As long as he brings a wee bit of enthusiasm and he can put his words into actions, because I listened to his first interview, then, you know, like the same with the gaffer, you've just got to give him a chance.
The gaffer.
I think Griffiths signed a new contract today as well, didn't he?
Aye, did.
Where do you think you're at, Matty?
Who, Griffiths?
Aye.
I'd keep him. He's the best striker Celtic I've got now. He's better than a Yeti. Don't know what's happening with Edward. You keep him.
Yeah, you've never heard the fucking bio. Wait, you see this boy play?
Well, I remember bio.
The bio.
I remember bio. Rough
Billy Gumbo. Can I want to? For tonight, I'm gonna be Mama Cherimio. Fifuchar and Buchar and Bigayo. Son of a gun, we'll have some fun on the bio.
I kill
my cheers, mate.
Not a problem, dude.
See you there, Matty, my man.
Football Daft's big question.
Right, lads, so this week in the Football Daft group chat, we had a wee debate, right? Sparked a wee debate because John jumped in saying he hates Pepe. I'm a big fan of Pepe. I've always liked him. I think he gets a bad rep. But the big question this week on the back of that was, what players can you not stand and why?
Right, well, there's only one that I always just remember that I really, really ever don't like. I don't remember his second name, but his first name was Billy, and he played for the Talbot. And I used to when the Talbot players would walk round for the changing rooms, you know, I'd put my horn out for the Buffs players, and I'd maybe get abuse to the away teams. It's maybe about 9, 10 or 11, and I'd put my horn out, and I remember just, I've probably said this before, but, you know, the away teams players would walk by and I'd go, Dafties, user shite, blah, blah, blah. And then this one guy, Billy's name, as he was sent off, remember wheel number 5. And I said something like, oh, you're rubbish. And he went, thanks, fat boy.
Oh.
And there's only like 9 or 10 and all the other players laughed.
Credo.
That's intense, that man, isn't it?
Credo.
You've got good reason to hate that guy.
I fucking hate that guy. Yeah, I always remember that. Fuck him. Billy that played with Talbot.
What's his second name?
I'm going to find out, man, because he's now, I think about it's winding me up now.
Do you know what? I'll tell you what, I've got a story about like that, Gredo, right? This one time I was at a show in Hingley. I met this wrestler and I went, you were great today, mate. He said, thanks very much, big man. I've hated him ever since.
It was nerves.
Can you guess who it was, Stephen?
I've heard, mate, I know who it is, but I think the wrestler in question that we're talking about has been through a lot, and he's come out the other side, and I'm quite proud of him these days.
He has been through a lot, you're right. I mean, he would never have said that to me if it wasn't for that prick saying that to him at the football that day.
Exactly. So I think the wrestler in question was scarred because Billy for the Talbot called him fat boy. So instead of kind of letting it out and talking about it, he tried to lay that on to other folk.
Aye.
You know, I felt bad one day. Now you'll feel bad.
Aye, exactly. Big man. What I mean? So anyway, what about you, Toll? Is there any players that you hate?
Is there anybody that I hate? Do you know, I find hate to be a very strong word. There's a lot of players that I severely dislike.
Mm-hmm. Is there one that's always kind of...
Nacho
Novo. Pepe's quite a popular one.
Nacho Novo.
Look at Ryan.
Look at Ryan right away, man. He hadn't even said Novo, he just said Nacho.
These are so bad, man.
Wait a minute. There's another one as well. Dougie Imrie. I couldn't stand him as a player against these men. He's just a dirty man. Dirty man.
Who's yours, Ryan?
See, John texted me and said, why don't you do this for the big question? And I just replied to him saying, like, and why is the answer Nacho Novo? Like, I can't stand Nacho Novo, man. Like, he's just one of them guys.
Because he said no.
You know, it's actually not even that. That was before my time. I didn't even properly know all that. I just didn't like him. He just
imagine what the song would have been if his name was Nacho Ninian.
So let's get to the listeners. Ian Grant.
Stevie, who's yours?
Mine's. Let me think.
Boric.
No. I would probably, after me saying yours, but no, I would probably say Griffiths. Do you know? And I'll tell you for why.
That's funny,
see,
man.
Down in the fucking dark days where you were constantly scalping us, see the whole fucking...
Tying the scarf and all that.
Wiping his nose with a corner flag, tying his scarf on the post.
Putting in 25 yarders into the top bin.
Aye. That's the thing. See a guy who does that. Rogic does it. He done it to us a good few times.
I bet you don't dislike him.
No, because he didn't wipe his nose with a corner flag or tie scarves at the end of the game. And I just get a pure hang when I look at Griffiths and I go, right, mate, that's fair enough. But see, now there's a challenger. Where are you?
Listen, that's not the point in this section of the show. All right.
It's about players you don't
like. Just shit starting again, man. Anyway,
Mick McFarlane says, ball and golly, no further comment needed.
Sorry, Alan Muir says Ryan Porteous gets good hype because he shouted at Morelos but isn't actually very good.
Hear, hear.
Mark McDade says Scott Brown, he can dish it out, but can he take it? I think you'll find that he can take it.
I think you'll find he can, but Scott Killen says there's only one correct answer to this, and it's Dougie Emery.
Yeah, no way.
There you go.
Fucking Celties.
Stevie Nielsen says Darian McKinnon for being a pound shop Scott Brown.
Oh, that's a bit rude. Gavin Wilson. Oh, there's one. Gavin Wilson says, El Hadj Diouf. Always thought he was a prick until he signed for Rangers, then he became our prick.
That's the way you hang most folk, man.
Andy Duffy says, Pogba for wearing that stupid basketball sleeve on one arm. Grew up. Camden, Andy.
Aye, mate. Rain it in a bit, mate.
Alex says, Raheem Sterling, diving wee bastard.
I've lost my hang wig and you just need to do it.
And Martin Hagney says, Nacho Novo just for being a prick.
Well, do you know,
I love how John has went to Blackpool, fucked off to Blackpool and flung a grenade. And the big question, well, we're all getting each other about your fucking Scott Brown, your Nacho Novos and your Lee Griffiths.
And Billy Fitzgerald.
Aye. But anyway.
Some unnamed wrestler for Glasgow.
Aye, and some.
Fair sure, you know I mean.
But anyway, guys, that was this week's big question, and it was big.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Find them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at G4 Claims Limited.
So the Pro Set Playoff is back with piesports.com. Scottish football fans eating over 1 million pies a year. We'd love to bring some of that to your home with the real taste of Scottish football in the form of our fan favourites, scotch, steak and gravy and macaroni. You can order on the website via the Pie Store page or by calling the SOS hotline on 0141 739 9999. Delivery of the pies are free of charge to a bunch of postcodes and you'll find them on piesports.com. Now, today, playing for the pies, it's Chris O'Brien. How you doing, Chris?
I'm good, boys. How are you?
All good, mate. All good. Enjoying the sunshine?
Aye.
Sunshine.
That's wonderful. Right, so
that's
Chris,
that's wonderful. Nice though.
Hey. So, Chris, you know how the game works, are you? You listen.
Aye.
Good stuff. So I'll read out a description of a player. I've went for the Euros thing today. I've got a few players that are currently still in the tournament. So we're obviously at quarterfinal stage now. So these players are still in the tournament. So you need to, well, we need to find out who you're going to play. First of all, who would you like to play? If I gave you the option, who would you choose?
Is Grado pitched again this weekend?
Yes.
He's had a few, mate.
I'll play Grado, aye.
All right.
No, I'm not first.
No, it's fine. You win. I'm not winning the Euros. I don't fucking watch it.
He's always watching Love Island.
Yeah, I do watch it. You know I watch it, boys, because I'm always commenting on it. But I don't take in the names of the players in that.
By the way, I've been struggling this time and all.
So, I've been all right, mate.
Cool, right. Mate.
I'll pick a name. I'll pick a name at random. Actually, Chris, do me a favour. Pick a number between 1 and 3. Go for it. In my heat, it was Stevie Purden.
Let's do it.
That's fine.
All good. Right, Chris, what's your buzzer going to be?
I'll be really annoying and go, ah.
That's a nice one.
Fair enough. Stevie, what about you?
Bada bing.
Oh, nice.
Oh, touche. Very noise, topical.
Topical, mate. Topical.
Topical.
Right, okay, here we go. Player number one, then. This player started his career at Basel, where he made 92 first-team appearances, scoring 18
Bada
goals.
Bing.
Yep.
Basel. Oh, fuck. Shaqiri.
Basel Mali.
1-0, Stevie Burden.
Shaqiri. Oh, everyone,
you talk like that.
You're mad. Oh, my God, man. Sorry, on you go.
Is this the singing section of the show, right? Get the tunes on this one.
Right,
player number two. This winger started his career at Lens before a move to Chelsea in 2012, but he never managed to break into the first team. After loans in Belgium and Germany, he finally landed at Borussia Mönchengladbach when he made 109. Yep, Chris?
Thorgan Hazard.
One each, Thorgan Hazard,
done,
it is.
Well done.
Well done, bro.
Right, let's go, one each. Third player. This Danish striker broke into the Ajax squad in 2016 at the age of 18, where he scored 33 goals in 78 appearances, including his competitive. Yep, Stephen.
Braithwaite.
It's not Braithwaite, mate. I'll continue. Yep.
Yusuf Poulsen.
No, Yusuf Poulsen.
Is it Klaassen?
No. Played for Ajax. Broke in at 18. Kasper Dahlberg.
Oh, no.
Fuck, he scored a peach last week. Fuck's sake.
If you said waited, I was going to get to the very end of it. I was going to say he replaced Poulsen and scored 2 goals to put it away.
Fuck's sake.
Right, so one each in, and one of you has to get this one because I've only got 4 wrote down. So he's need to get it. Right, here we go. Number 4. This Italian goalie has only ever played for... Yep.
Donnarumma.
I knew you would have got that one right away. 2-1, Stevie, well played.
Well done, Stevie.
Well done, Bob.
Do you know what, mate? See, because you've done so much for charity and all that jazz and raising funds and all that stuff, you have the pies, my
man. Aye, mate. You've done well, big man.
Thanks very much.
You've done well,
big man. No worries, mate. Thanks.
Thanks very much for coming on again, Chris. All the best, mate.
See you later, mate.
Cheers, boys. Thank you.
Cheers, Chris. Cheers. See you later, bud.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, Chris.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Get them now at notatfaultclaims.com.
Welcome to Grado's Free Riddles of the Week on Football Daft. So, all I'm going to basically do is I'm going to give you free riddles and I'm going to open it up to Ryan, to Bob, to Toll. Now, these are fairly straightforward, but I'm going to have to say that I think you might get them. But so, you ready? Right. Okay. Here is the first riddle. Name the five Camaras, spelled either C or K, that have played in the SPFL and for which team. That's Camaras, Camara, Camara.
Glenn Camara for Rangers.
Glenn Camara. We had
Mo Camara for Celtic.
We also had Diamante Camara.
Uh-huh.
We had the other Camara as well. We signed him for Fulham. What was his name? Oh, that was Diamante Camara.
Henri Camara.
There we go. And he's got it right. Well done. 1 point to all yous. Next one. What do Lionel Messi and Britney Spears both have in common?
No contract.
None of the two of them could get out of contract.
Well, something like that.
Contract disputes.
With our father.
Well done, Tull. You've
yes,
got it right.
There
father.
We go.
Okay. Fuck me, I thought this was going to take 10 minutes. Right, final one. What do Oliver Giroud, Stan Collymore, David Beckham and Didier Agat all have in common?
They've all got songs by Wakefield.
Nah.
Say that again.
What do Oliver Giroud, Stan Collymore, David Beckham and Didier Agat all have in common? That's a good one, this one.
They've all been in films.
Fuck off, man! Aye.
Can
you name the films?
Stan Collymore was in Basic Instinct 2.
Basic Instinct 2.
Aye. Didier Agat was in A Shot of Glory.
Was Beckham in Goal?
Aye. Goal 2.
He was, but that's not the film that I picked.
But he was in Goal, wasn't he?
Bender with Beckham.
Yeah, I've got him. Is it the King Arthur? Something to do with King Arthur? Something like
that. And Oliver Giroud
was in like a French porno or something.
No,
he was in a horror movie or something. Was
no,
he
wasn't. He was in a big film.
Well, I don't know the answer to that one.
Oh, was he in? Nah, I've lost it.
Nah, it's gone.
I've seen it.
It's gone.
Okay,
Spider Man.
Aye, there you go.
Spider Man film, wasn't he? Was that the
fuck
animated
sake,
one?
Aye, that's it. I didn't think you should get it. Oh well.
There you go. Eh.
Is that it?
Grado, I need to tell you something, mate.
That's no riddles.
You don't know what a riddle is.
I thought, does the answers no need to then reflect and mean something?
Aye. Right, I'll do it better for next week, right?
No, it's still good though, mate. Good effort.
Aye, right, it's good. You did put effort in it, mate. Well done.
Aye, that's really good. And that, I feel ladies and gentlemen, was the first week of Grado's Three Riddles because we've not got a guest.
Near a tree by a river, there's a hole. And it all the best that goes around and around. Never, never fight no more.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Call them now on 01698 767 172.
Boys, I think, right, obviously we've not had John this week. We've had producer Ryan and we've not had a
John.
Guest, but...
Need John!
What?
Need John! We don't need him!
What?
Ryan got engaged this week.
So he did! Congratulations, mate.
Are you
punching?
How did you do it? Oh, mate, I'm punching.
How did he do it? I think he fucking blindfolded her first. Did you see
that? Yes, he's an excellent
Ryan, obviously, talk us through the moves you made, the way you went about it, the way you proposed. Talk us through.
Do you want to know? Oh, is that not born?
You want to know?
We've got a guest this week, mate.
I spoke for half an hour about Big Brother, mate. We can listen to your fucking story.
Fair enough. Very, very simple. Went out for something to eat in the afternoon. Went for a few drinks. I had somebody in a hotel room decorating it, putting balloons in, and that way we were out. Gave me a wee text and said, that's the room ready. Down we went, into the room. It was her birthday on the Monday. So she's walked in, seen all the balloons, and she's been, oh, brilliant. And then no really realised, thinking it was just a birthday present that I've got her. And I was like, are you going to read the big one in the corner then? And she read the big one and it had the old question on it, will you marry me? And I'm doing the one knee and all that. And she's going, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck? And I was like,
mate,
are you going to see
it? Mate, I've got fucking goosebumps, man.
That's a good one, mate. No, the worst bit was, I'm literally doing there looking up at her going, are you going to say aye at any point so I can get up to here? Because she just kept saying, what the fuck? So it took me a good minute for it to go, aye. Obviously, she was contemplating whether she would say it or no.
Question.
At least she asked the question, mate.
If she said no, I was pawning in the ring, getting it with the boys and getting hammered.
I've not spoken about Sarah getting engaged on this show yet, have I?
No.
You
tell us to keep it a secret.
I've had a couple of drinks now.
Now you said five Corona, man, it's all coming out.
But see, did you know, but Ryan, I honestly, before I done it, I thought, she's neighbouring, man. Just fucking strip it. You know that way? I thought, whatever, I'll be with it, neighbouring. Mate, I'm fucking shat. I couldn't even get the words out of my mouth.
I'll be honest, I was fine. I was more concerned that things went to plan through the day. When I actually came here, I was like, I'll be fine, because she's been going with me for 10 years, she's going to say aye. And if she didn't, then superb.
I got engaged when I was 18 or 19.
But you've been engaged a few times, man.
Lads, yous are putting pressure on me here.
Oh, but well, I can imagine you getting engaged in third year and all that.
No, mate, I was fucking not a chance. It was when I finished a panto and I organised all the family to go up to Nicola's mum and dad's house. Nicola came in and picked me up for the pavilion and we drove up and we walked in. There was a big surprise. Everybody there, I just thought, what the fuck's going on? I just went down on one knee and poked the ring out and went, will you marry me?
Hold on, what did she say?
Well, she said aye, mate.
So what about you? You proposed to him, therefore?
Nah, mate. But
he's getting all shifty in his chair, man. He's not done it yet.
It's true,
innit? Mate, I didn't think that after I'd done it, I'd need to start booking wedding venues and that right away. I was thinking, get engaged for a couple of years, not care.
I'm not going to mention
two wedding venues.
Mate, that's a bit, I'm not saying because it's the one that to turn up, not, but it's a good venue you picked then.
He's not saying in case me and Ryan turn up.
I know.
Oh, Ryan might end up there tolling Bob over there.
Hey.
Ryan will be at the reception.
Yeah, Ryan, you can be John's plus one.
Who are you kidding? He's taking fucking Kevin McAllister with him.
Imagine at your wedding, man. Imagine we're there, man, having a crack night and one person that's out of order and starts a fight, John.
Aye, man.
I'm sick of fucking hearing about a studio.
Aye, man. He starts bottling you, too. Fucking absolute starts fucking shanking you, know that.
What are you going to do, you prick? Trying to take a joke off me? Come here, you prick.
Soprano style, man. Fucking...
Oh!
Crimson all over the fucking sausage rolls.
No, but then he kills Tom.
Hey, you're getting a bit silly now, man.
Hey, calm down.
Aye. Boys, honestly.
Choke shoot.
It's 9:10 and a Thursday night. I've got a full day tomorrow at work. I've still got my lines to learn. But, boys, it's been a great show. We've not had a guest. We've not had a John.
Let us know if it's bothered your learning listening experience.
Learning experience.
If we've learned something today, it's that Grado doesn't know what a riddle is.
And we will be in a studio very, very soon. If you're, I don't know, you see it maybe on Instagram, G4 Studios, they've got their own kind of Instagram page now, they're putting it up there. So John's got no fucking option. We're going in. We're going in very soon. And if he's not coming, we've got Ryan.
And if he's not coming, we'll hire somebody else.
Hey,
Capital Radio. Ryan, is you at Capital that you work for?
That is me, yes.
Aye. Capital Radio, man.
Well, anyway, gentlemen, I've had a great time. Thanks very much. Taking it down to the next level.
Green, if you want to go faster.
See you next week, guys.
This is Nick Kershaw with the riddle.
See you there, boys.
I hope that song kicks off, man, with the live shows and all that.
By the way, that's a good shout.
Audio Frontier.